Why are you here today? I wanted to ask some of the little ones why they're here, but I didn't get here in time. I expect a lot of these little ones was drugged. They were dragged to church. Mom and Daddy said, come on, let's go. You didn't get an option, did you? You was drugged. You was drugged to church. I promise you was. And I'm glad you were. I hope you're continually drugged and drugged to church. I hope so. I really do. Some of the others may say different things. You know, we came to worship. We came to sing. I came to see my brothers and sisters. I mean, there's all kind of answers. And it really don't matter. We want to think about some things that do matter. I catch myself saying this, does it really matter? Does it really matter? I get caught up and I get bogged down in my daily schedule. I've got a calendar on my desk and I looked at it and I told Becky, I says, every Tuesday in September we have doctor's appointments. Two in Oklahoma City, or one in Weatherford, one in Oklahoma City, two in Amarillo. And then we got to work out getting her stitches taken out among that time sometime too. So I get bogged down in my schedule, and I'm sure you do too, with work, trying to find wheat seed, trying to get things done. Just our daily schedule, I just get bogged down in it. My mind stays occupied with doing that. For a verse here, let's look at 1 Timothy 4:8 says, for bodily exercise profits little, but godliness is profitable in all things, having the promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. My boss for 30-something years ran marathons. He's kind of progressed. Now he runs marathons that you run and you bicycle and you swim. He's in a lot better shape than I am, to say the least. Okay? But I love to give this scripture to him. I tell him how much it profits him to be in such good shape. But the key, one key to our lesson today to really remember, it is profitable to have godliness. That is profitable. Because that helps us in our life that now is and of that which is to come. That's what really matters when you think about it. That's what really matters. What about this? Should I wear a tie? I have been told a tie was designed to wipe your mouth, kind of a bib. If that is correct, I need to wear a tie because I'm liable to get something on my shirt. I am not the most coordinated, so then I should wear a tie. 1 Timothy 2:9, in the like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array. Men and women, we should be modest. I don't care where it is, whether it's in the church, wherever you are. We should be dressed modestly. We should be able to show that we are Christians. So should I wear a tie? Does it really matter? What about this? Have any of you this weekend, what food am I going to take to church? I usually hear this at home. I didn't this weekend. She didn't feel like cooking. And we have some of the best cooks. I won't trade them for no one. Does it really matter? What food? Luke 10:40. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. We don't need to be cumbered about, bogged down with daily thanks. We should be able to come to church and worry about worshiping the Lord, not what we're going to eat, not what we're going to have. I told some of them up there on the day of surgery, I've got it all figured out. I am simple-minded. Sundays we'll have S's. Soup one Sunday, sandwich one Sunday, salad one Sunday, and sardines. We're going to lose weight, right? It really don't matter. What about some things that matter? In Genesis 4 and 3, and in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstling of the flock and the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering. But unto Cain and his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. As we read through the Bible, we see that offerings to the Lord was blood offerings. And here was an offering of fruit. God did not have respect to that. Cain was mad. You know what happened later? Cain slew his brother Abel. Sin came into his life and he killed his brother. Does it really matter if we do what God tells us to do? You know it does. What about attendance? Does it really matter if we're here? Hebrews 10 and 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much to the more as we see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. We come here to get exhorted. I think that's a key word that we see, is to be exhorted. If I'm not here, you can't exhort me, can you? I mean, that's keeping it simple. You know, I have been here, and someone has led a prayer, and I won't call his name, and I won't forget that prayer. It really touched me. I have been here, and someone had a lesson, a teaching. I won't never forget that. I have seen someone lead a song and they just smile, so I won't forget that. All of these things is going to help me reaching that goal in heaven. I was glad I was here to hear and receive that blessing. Matthew 18 and 20, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Jesus is here right now. He's here. He knows when you're not here. He knows when you're here and you wish you wasn't here. He's here. You know, I've traveled miles to see pretty sights. Others have traveled miles for sports events. Others have done a lot of things. None of those sports events or pretty sights is going to help you go to heaven. Jesus will. Mark 12 and 30. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. If you really love him, you'll want to be here. You'll make an effort to be here to get the blessings from Jesus Christ. John 20 and 24. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. Jesus had been crucified on the cross. He had been buried in a tomb. 3 days later, he had arose. And now on a Sunday evening, he's appearing to 11 of his disciples. Thomas was not there. He missed it. He might have an excused absence. I don't know. But because Thomas wasn't there, he didn't believe that Jesus had rose from the dead. Have any of you older people ever heard of the term Doubting Thomas. Well, if you don't, you have now. That's where it came from. Thomas doubted about Jesus Christ being up from the dead. He said, unless I feel his hands, unless I put my hand in his side, I don't believe it. Jesus appeared to him. He did believe. When he saw Jesus, he said, my Lord and my God. But he missed seeing Jesus on that Sunday evening. So we miss things when we're not here. Does it really matter? Next idea, prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. We should be in a prayerful attitude. This whole week I've been in a prayerful attitude. And we should pray without ceasing. Does prayer really matter? You know it does. Mark 11:24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. I prayed for things and it didn't happen. Maybe I didn't believe that I would receive them. That's a possibility. Maybe I prayed for something that the Lord knew I didn't need, that it wouldn't help me be a better Christian. Because God knows what we have need of even before we ask. So don't get discouraged when you pray and nothing happens. In James 5:16 it says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The disciples with Jesus could do miracles. They could make the lame walk. They could make the blind see. They could cast out devils. You know, we can't do that. But this is a miracle. When we have our brother and sisters in Christ that's lived a Christian life and then went back into the world and they come to us and we pray, their sins are forgiven. That's a miracle that we can pray and forgive sins from our brothers and sisters in Christ. Does it really matter about prayer? I think it does. How about study? 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Christians are a workman. We are workers. Now we got some intelligent people in here, and I dare say that most of you could be a rocket scientist. Most of you could be a neurosurgeon if you had the money, if you had the time, and if you studied. Now, if you want to be a teacher, you got to go to school, get a degree, and have a teaching certificate. You have to study several years. If you want to be a doctor, a lot more years and you do a lot of things. Study is what it takes. Christians are workmen, so you have to study. Mark 12:24, and Jesus answered and said unto them, do you not therefore err, because you neither know not the scriptures nor the power of God? Study to know the scriptures. Study so you're not in error. Study is so important. It really does matter. James 4:17. Therefore to him knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is a sin. Knowing and doing. Know right from wrong. Now, there's people in the world that don't know right from wrong. They're doing things that they think is just wonderful. But it's against God's word. Knowing and doing. What about this? Know where to draw the line. Matthew 21 and 12, and Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all of them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. And he said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. You know, occasionally on Sunday morning, we have the TV on, watching some of the national news and all the bad in the news. And sometime after that, there'll be a church service. And a little bit, I'll hear something, and I said, whoop, that's wrong, and I turned it off. We have to know where to draw the line. You know, you can walk into churches and different places, and they may have a woman get up and be the preacher. Are you going to draw the line there? You go, well, that's okay. We study so we know where to draw the line. Because you can find all kind of stuff in the world that is religiously acceptable. You study to know. That's why it's so important. Does it really matter if we tell others? Mark 16 and starting verse 15, and he said, go into them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. We are Christ's hands. We are Christ's feet. We are Christ's mouth. What is a worker to do is to go out and teach others. A Christian is a worker. A Christian goes out and spreads the word. It really matters, doesn't it? Acts 13 and 1. Now there were in the church that was in Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger and Lucius of Cyrene and Manion, which was brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. At the church in Antioch, this was these teachers, multiple teachers that was there. We need teachers here to teach and spread the word. We have 12 or so teachers that takes turn teaching. We need those to spread the word. We need men and women to go out of the assembly to teach and tell others about Jesus. This is God's plan, is to tell others. 2 Corinthians 4 and 3, but if our gospel be hid, it is to hid to them that are lost. Jesus came to save the lost. Jesus wants us to save the lost. That's our workmen. That is what we are to do, to go out and save the lost. We're to tell the gospel. In Galatians 3 and 27, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. You know, I look out here and we see families. The women have put on rings. The men have put on rings. We put on some things. We belong to somebody. When we put on Christ, we belong to somebody, don't we? We're supposed to tell them that. 2 Timothy 2 and 11, this is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. You have seen this. People are baptized. They go into the water. They are immersed. They come up a new creature. And we know if we live in Christ, we shall die. It's appointed and the man wants to die, and after that, the judgment, we will live again. We need to tell others about that. That's our responsibility. It really matters. What do we tell them? Hopefully all of y'all know this by heart. Seems like I can't keep from putting this in a lesson. So we'll go through this a little faster than the rest of it. Part of God's plan of the gospel is to hear. Romans 10 and 14. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed, and how shall they believe on him of whom they have not heard, and how shall they hear without a preacher? You're hearing the word of God today. That's what we're supposed to do. Hebrews 11 and 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I believe everyone here today believes in Jesus Christ. This is part of God's plan. Luke 13 and 3 and Luke 13 and 5 says, I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. What is repent? That is a change. A change, instead of living worldly, you want to live as a Christian. Live Christ-like. Do godly things, because it's profitable. Matthew 10 and 32, starting there, it says, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever therefore shall deny me before men, him will I shall deny before my Father which is in heaven. And we've seen that. People come to the front. They want to be baptized. They're asked to stand. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? They say, yes, I do. That's a simple confession. They're not asked to know the Bible, to recite verses. They don't have to know a whole lot of the Bible. They have to believe. They want to change and not live sinful. They confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Matthew 28 and 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. You notice when someone goes to be baptized, they're baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost. This is why that is said, because we're told to do that. If you were baptized to be part of a church, I'm pretty simple, you got wet. You still have your sins. That's all that happened. This is what God's plan is. When you come up out of the water, you're a new creature. Your sins are gone. You're completely spotless. What about this? Matthew 25 and 23. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. This is what I want to hear. We're going to die and we're going to stand at the judgment. This is what is really important. This what matters. Enter thou into the joys of the Lord. Revelation 2 and 10. Fear none of those things which I shall suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you in prison. You may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Yes, we will be tried. The devil never, ever gives up. Maybe once you become a Christian, he wants you even the more so. He would like to trip you up. He's sly. He's a good liar. He will keep coming after you. Let's look at 2 Peter 2 and 22. It has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Has any of you got to have the privilege to see this? It's gross. It's nasty. That's the way God looks at us after we're baptized and then we go back in the world and start sinning again. He's nauseated. He'd like to spew us out of his mouth. Just because you're baptized and your sins are washed away, it's not over. We have to live faithfully. The devil's going to keep coming. He knows your weak spots. Let's think about this. In Matthew 26 and verse 73, we start there. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, Surely thou art one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee. Then he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. Here is one of the disciples of Jesus. He had told Jesus, I'll never betray you. He even took out his sword and cut out one of the ears of the high priest. He was going to fight to the death for Jesus. And yet when he looks like he might be in danger, his life from bodily harm, here he is cursing, lying. I don't know the guy. I don't know Jesus. Jesus had told him, you'll deny me three times before the cock crows. The devil got him. He fell short. Now look at him. Acts 2, in verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, You men of Judea, and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. Jesus preached the first gospel sermon in Acts 2. And they asked, Men and brethren, what shall we do? And he told them to repent and be baptized. 3,000 obeyed the gospel that day. What happened to Peter? He denied Jesus, and now he's preaching. Here's what happened to Peter. 1 John 2 and 21, My little children, these things I write unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He didn't have to be baptized again. 1 John 1 and 9, If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We help each other. There was one man that was perfect. That was Jesus. That leaves me and you. We're not perfect. The devil's going to trick us up. But we don't stay down when we fall. We get up. We help each other up. We pray for each other. We keep going just like Peter did. You know, most of his disciples, you'll read, they came to a horrible death. I don't think Peter denied him again. He kept fighting. He kept telling each other. What really matters then? In Ecclesiastes 12 and 13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. Don't get bogged down in life's trials. Fear God and keep his commandments. That's what really matters. It's not whether we have a shield. I've heard it called a shield. It don't matter. Why does it matter? In John 14, starting verse 1, Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you into myself, that where I am, there you may be also. This is why it matters. There's an eternity waiting if we live righteously. In 2 Thessalonians 1, starting with verse 7, And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. He shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. This is why it matters. I don't want to be in that boat. I don't want to be there. This is why it matters. We need to keep track of the big picture. Stay on course. We have a goal. Look for it. Don't get off chasing rabbits down a trail. This is why it matters.